Good morning. It is great to be with you again this morning, and I'm honored that you would join us. But let me tell you, this one's going to bless you. We are starting a new series today, and it's called Father Just Doesn't Just Have Love. He is love. Now, I know I told you last week that we were going to start a new series saying all from His love, but as happens, I felt like the Lord changed some things. And today we're actually going to be talking about the flow of God's love. And you're going to see how His love flows to you. And that's not the end of it. Because as we talked about power that makes possible flowing through you, you're going to see that love is what enables that power to flow through you. Now, in this study, we're going to be focusing on God's love flowing through us. But before we do, we want to just really look today at God's love work to us, and then how the areas that it works in with us. I want to just remind you, though, as we start this one, if you're going to listen to this and you haven't listened to the last session 10 in Power That Makes Possible, go back and do it, because it's entitled An Invitation to Draw Close. And guess how He draws you? You're going to see today it's by His love. So what we're doing today is not just stopping and starting a new study. It is really just continuing on and building on what we must do in order to have that love and that power flow through us. Let me also encourage you, if you haven't requested notes from us, we're going to be reading some scriptures today and some things, some versions you may not have, and you may want to have these for a copy of them. There's some really good verses that we're going to read in a couple of other translations. So you can request a copy by sending a note to Facebook message to Patricia Dudley on Facebook. Give her your email and she'll get those to you. Or you can send a Facebook message to our Minton Williams Ministries Facebook page or to info@mintonwilliams.com. Now, mentioning mintonwilliams.com, our website, just remind you, we have all of these teachings that, in fact, today's has just been posted that you can listen to in audio only. I know most of us enjoy watching a video, but if you want to listen while you're driving or while you're walking or in the kitchen cooking, then you can use that and it won't consume some of the messaging or the volume rates that you have for bit rates on your phone. So feel free to go back and listen to this again and just let this, particularly today's, feed into you. So let me pray as we get started this morning. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for the power that flows from that love that You want operating in us. And I thank You, Father, that today You're going to show us and reveal to us more and more of You. Because You are love. We thank You for how good You are to us. We thank You for blessing us continually, for protecting us. And we thank You most of all that You've drawn us to Yourself. You've brought us close with Your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with me to 1 John 4. And we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. We're going to look at a number of other verses, so if you want to put your ribbon here in 1 John 4, that might be wise. Let me read you 1 John 4, 7 and 8, and then we'll break them down. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now let's go back to verse 7. Let's don't just jump at the end of verse 8 like we often may do. It starts out, beloved, you who be loved, incorrect English, you who are loved of the Lord, we who are loved of the Lord, I who am loved of the Lord. So take it personal. See yourself in this verse that you are the object of His love. And then it says, as the beloved, we are to do what? love one another. So we're painting a picture here of some of the things we're going to study in this one verse. So we are loved. We're to take that love and love others with it. But how can we do that? Well, it says, for love is from God. So we're not loving within our own flesh's ability. We're loving through our spirit from His love. Because He says, for love is from God. And then He says, everyone who knows God, or who is born of God, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, in this, we see that this love then is just there, not because of anything we've done, but because of what He's done for us. It's nothing that we can earn. It's not anything we can make happen. But when we are born of God, we might say we're born of love. So a God of love loves you, and He loves you so much that we could be born of that same love that He loves us with. But it's all about this knowing, and that knowing there is an intimate knowing. You're going to see a verse that talks about experiencing it in just a minute in another translation. And then verse 8. And this first part of verse 8 may trouble some people. The one who does not love does not know God. Now, people will say, well, gosh, I haven't loved in a long time like I should. Does that mean I'm not? No, don't even go there. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're going through a period where you've not been intimate with Him. And you're not allowing that love to flow. Now, let me remind you that the Lord told me when I was asking to see more miracles, that if I would love with the compassion of Jesus, I wouldn't have to ask. And so this is just talking about that intimate knowing, that intimate love that we have for Him. And it's that relationship. That's what it gets back to. It's not just going to church. It's not just studying the Word. It's spending time in the Word with Him to experience His love, make it real in your life. And then verse 8 then continues and says, for God is love. So I want to say to you today, God doesn't just have love. He is love. This is His very nature. So we are not just teaching on another subject, talking about love. We are teaching about the Father Himself when we teach on love. And I don't know that we can ever adequately teach this. But today we just want to set a foundation and over these next several weeks build on how that compassionate love that we saw describing Jesus can flow through us. Love is the basis of all that the Father is. His goodness, His holiness, the power that flows in us. And I really believe that love is also the atmosphere of heaven, just as oxygen is the primary component of our atmosphere and the source of life here, a source of life on this earth. Now, I want to read this to you from the Weust or Woost translation, W-E-U-S-T, and you've got it there if you've got copies of your notes. Look at how this starts out. Divinely loved ones. Now, that word divinely tells me this is not something that's going to happen for my carnal being. So it's not about my body, my flesh. It's about His love in me, that supernatural love in my spirit. So divinely loved ones, let us be habitually loving one another. Wow. Habitually loving. That says lifestyle to me. That's how He wants us to live, day in and day out loving. Is that possible? Yes, you're going to see how, because you're going to see that this love will give us power to do that. And then it says we're to be loving one another in this lifestyle with a divine and self-sacrificial love. So He's just reemphasizing, it's nothing you're going to do without me, but we're not without Him. Because this forementioned love is what? Out of God as a source. Don't you love that phrase? This love that we have is out of God. It's out of His very being. That's who He is. And that is the source of the love that you and I can love with on this earth today. And everyone who is in this manner habitually loving, and then he emphasizes it again, out of God, has been born with the present results that he is regenerated and knows God in this experiential way. Wow. Wow, wow. That's you and I. Born of love, through love, and now that love we're experiencing, and we're able to love in that manner in this flesh body that we live in. Out of God as a source, not something we conjure up or work up love, but it's his very nature being exhibited through us. And isn't that how faith works? Through love? So that ties right back in with the previous teaching, why I said we're not changing subjects, we're just continuing on. And that also we need to remember his faith is now in us. So it's his faith and his love at work in us. And when we do it, oh, the possibilities of the power. Now, we also don't want to forget that we can have faith and not have love. We can believe something. But if we're doing it without his supernatural, doing it not out of God's source, trying to do it on our own, then our faith will be non-productive. Loud and noisy, but it won't be productive. Now, can we really love this way? And this verse really will transition us to God's love for us as we delve into it a little more deeply. And I want to read it to you out of the Woos translation again. This is John 17, verse 26. It says, "And I made known to them your name, and will make it known, in order that the love with which you loved me might be in them, and I might be in them." So that same love that the Father loved Jesus with, Jesus says, is in you and I. Wow. Let me read you the Passion Translation. "I have revealed to them who you are." And then he says, "And I will continue to make you even more real to them." How's he going to do that? He's in heaven. Do you think you and I might play a role in that? I sure do. "So that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me." Now, he's saying here that he wants us on this earth today to experience that same supernatural endless love that the Father loves him with. "For your love will now live in them." So it's not just that we're loved by that. He's placing that love in them. And look at how he closes this. "For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them." So it's all about this in him reality that we have in our Lord Jesus. That's God's love for you and I. Not a love that is just distant, but a love that we become intimate with, a love that we have faith in, and that love becomes alive in you and I today. Now, let's just set this in stone once and for all. Look at John 17, verse 23. John 17, verse 23. And I want to start with verse 20, because 20 through 22 provides the basis for which this statement is made. Jesus, praying for his disciples, prays, "I do not ask in behalf of these alone," talking about the disciples, "but for those who also believe in me through their words." So that's you and I reading the word of the disciple John here in this one. "That they may all be one." Now, obviously, it's talking here, and you're going to see that it's talking about that we may be one with the Father and with him. But do you think it's also talking about that we may be one with Jesus and with each other as members of his body? Now, you really say, "Help my faith, Lord." Well, this love has the ability to accomplish that. 21, let me read it again. "That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be in us." So all this oneness that he's talking about. And again, we got to remember, we're in that same body. We're one body. That the world might believe that you did send me. Now, do you think that as we're one with Jesus and love in this manner, that it's going to open some doors for people to want to be a part of that? You're going to see that, if not today, next week. 22 says, and the glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one even as we're one. Just reemphasize it. You know that we've been glorified. And then to verse 23, and this in him reality just continues to be discussed. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected or completed in this unity or in union with us, that the world may know that you did send me. Now, he's saying here that when we are one with him, that the world is going to take notice. And love is going to play a part in it. And this last phrase is what I want us to really focus on with this verse, though. And that you did love them even as, or I might say, just like you loved me. The same love that he loved Jesus with, you are loved by that same love. Jesus makes that similar statement in John 15. I believe it's verse 9. Let me give you the Passion. Look at this one with me, the Passion translation for this verse. For they will see that you love each one of them, and I'm picking up here at the end, that they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Again, the beloved of the Lord. Now, when I read this translation in the Passion, that just jumped out at me, that the same passionate love. There's been times where I know God loves me. I've got to get to that point where I can just see that intimate, passionate love that he has for me. I can see how he's passionate toward great revivalists or people through who the power flows greatly. But I need to see myself just like that. That's the same love. The Woos translation reads this way. And as for myself, the glory which you've given me, and this is starting with 22, I have given them in order that they might be one, even as we're one, I and them and you and me, having been brought to that state of completeness with respect of oneness, that we may persist in that state of completeness or love perfected, to the end that the world might be understanding that you sent me on a mission, yes, to reconcile us, and that you love them even as you love me. Now, we also need to love in that same manner so the world will see that we've been sent on a mission as ambassadors. We're not going to the cross for him. Jesus already done that. But we are being sent as what? As him, his ambassadors on a ministry of reconciliation. So you see how this is going to happen as we see ourselves loved like Jesus is loved. Jeremiah 31. Go there with me. This is really what Jeremiah is prophesying here. Now, as we read this, remember that Israel is a type of the church. And through the prophet, the Lord declares, at that time, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. So that's to you and I. We shall be his people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword, found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest, and isn't that what we're told to do, to enter into his rest? And then it says, the Lord appeared to him, and literally it means to me. So let me read it this way. The Lord appeared to me, to you and I, from afar, saying. So we've been afar, but now we're about to be close. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Not going to quit just because I do something wrong. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. The word is hesed, which is the Hebrew word for covenant love. So he's drawn us to himself and bound himself to us with that covenant love. Can I read you what some of you have heard before as we studied covenant and this word hesed? My translation or transliteration of it. Covenant love is the Father's love, along with obviously Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for they're one. It's their nature of, number one, ever being faithful. with a limitless love that gives and gives, keeping me from what I deserve, which is mercy, giving me way above and beyond what I don't deserve, which is His grace. And there's a constant pursuit on His part of showing and allowing me to partake of His goodness. And all of this flows from His love with an unlimited ability to deliver on each and every covenant promises. What a foundation of love we've been established on. Now with that, let's go to John 3:16. And in John 3:16, let's just read this with these words building us up. For God so loved the world. So let me substitute, since it said God is love, let me just say love instead of God here. For love Himself so loved the world that He, love Himself, gave. So what do we see that God's love does and what God's love should be doing through us? It should be giving. We're going to talk about that in this series. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And again, today, we're the instruments to show that love. It's through us that people are going to see God's love. He gave the highest that He had, the best that He had, and that's the same way He loves us with that same love He loved for Jesus. Now let's go back to 1 John 4. I told you we'd be heading back there. Got a few verses we want to read here. And let's go back to verse 16. This love that we're talking about. Verse 16 says, and we have come to know, that's that intimate knowing, and have believed. So we've experienced it, but it's not just it's something that is experienced, it's something we have to believe. Because it's been manifested in our spirit and we draw it out with our faith, with believing. We have come to know and believe the love of God for us. And then it says again, God is love. Doesn't have love. This is His nature. This is who He is. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now don't ever get tired and say, oh gosh, there's that again, that in Him stuff. Man, that is the essence. So, can I read this last part and substitute love for God? God is love, and the one who abides in love Himself, and the one who abides in love Himself, and love Himself abides in Him. So, I want you to begin to see this is the love that is in you that ought to be manifesting through us as well. So this love, it says then, it can be perfected in us in verse 17. So it says, by this, by what? By this love that we have. Now let me read this, because I want you to see how it's perfected. I'm going to read you verse 16 in the Passion. It says, we have come into an intimate experience with God's love. Now, it's going to be by us coming into this intimate experience that verse 17 that we're going to read is true. And it says, we now trust in the love He has for us. So it's like when we experience His love and we've had faith for it and we experience it more, what builds? Trust does. Confidence. A boldness to act on that love that dwells in us. And it's by this, back to verse 17, that love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. When everyone else is running out of fear, away from God, those who haven't believed, we're sitting there crying, Abba, Father, and we just run to Him. And then it says, because as Jesus is today, so are we, where? In this world, when? Now. Well, man, how can that be? Well, how is Jesus today? greatly loved in intimate relationship with his Father, in an intimate experience of knowing God's love there in heaven. He has that. How are we today? Loved by love himself in that same intimate experience as we believe and continue to trust in him. Glory, glory to God. Now, that positions us then to begin to talk about, since God loves me, my love back to God. And I want to start with verse 19 in this 1 John 4 chapter. Verse 19, seven words, but very, very powerful. We love because he first loved us. I could not love him with the love in my flesh. I could only love him what? Because he's loved me, and in doing so, when I believed it, he placed that same love in me. So we love with his love because he first loved us. That would be the Minton Williams translation. We love with his love because he first loved us. In other words, we loved as a response to his love for us. And you're going to see there's other things that happen in response to his love for us. Let's go back to Old Testament and remind ourselves what Moses said about in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 to the children of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. In other words, the Lord is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. In other words, what? Your whole being. That we saw a verse last week in, was it 1 Chronicles 16:9 or 2 Chronicles 16:9 that says that he's looking for the one whose heart is complete or whole toward him to pour out his goodness. Deuteronomy 11:1, Moses continues and says this, and this is from the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. So they were required to keep his commandments because he told them to do so in addition to love. And that's a key point. Now, let's go from there then to the New Testament and begin to see how this unfolds for you and I. So go to Mark 12, and we're going to start here in verse 29. We're going to read 29 and 30. And we'll come back to some subsequent verses. 29, Jesus is answering a question, and he says, the first or the foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, quoting Moses, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Same wholeheartedness we're supposed to love him with. Now, I have heard some teach this verse and says, because this is before the cross, it's old covenant. So this is not about anything to do with our flesh. No, I still think we're to love with our whole being. Now, let me just remind you. In fact, I'll look it up and read it to you. Luke 16:16 says to us this, the law and the prophets. So what we just read in Deuteronomy through Moses the prophet, were proclaimed until John, talking about John the Baptist. Well, if that was proclaimed up and then, what's proclaimed now? Well, it continues. Since then, the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. So this tells me that the gospel has been preached since John, and Jesus on this earth was since John. So these words apply to us in the new covenant equally as much. Now go to Big John, 14th chapter. Big John, the 14th chapter. And I want to read the 15th verse to you. Now, I mentioned before that when his love flows through us, it empowers our faith. So I want you to see that his love is an energizing factor. We might say it is a strengthening factor in our life. And I want you to see what flows from his love. here in this verse, John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So he's saying that love is going to produce the ability, the dunamis, I would say, to keep his commandments. The Passion Translation actually reads this way. Loving me, Jesus talking, empowers you to obey my commands. In other words, it's that natural response. And I think that is so important to us. When we have things come against us, that looking to him, looking to that love first, is the key to our response. Because if we look at the situation versus his love, love is not energizing our faith. Doubt and fear may be. But when we look to him, love is energizing our faith such that we can then get back on that faith track. We can have trust that rises up in us. And when I say this, though, I'm speaking it about his word. So it is his word and the love that is in his word for us. And let me just make this statement. His word is love, just as Jesus is love. Say that again. His love is word, just as Jesus is love. Now, what happens to us today? We miss it. Things happen, and we just get down on ourselves because the devil just beats us over the head saying, you don't love God enough. You're not loving him like you ought to. And that just continues and continues and continues. So what do we do when we get in that funk of feeling like I'm not loving God like I want? Do we begin to work on ourselves? Or do we begin to look at his love for us and let that love work in us? Because when that love begins to work in us, what's it going to do? It's going to bring that energizing power. Just like we saw in John 14:15. Loving me empowers you to obey the commands of Jesus. Now I want to just take a step and go through one that some of you may have some difficulty with when I say these words. I want to talk about loving myself. And I want to do that with Mark 12:31. I told you we would come back to Mark 12. We're actually going to come back to it one more time. It says this, the second, talking about second commandment that Jesus is talking about, said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, talking about these that he's given us about love. Now, I know this is saying you shall love your neighbor, but that's not what I want to talk about here. What does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to chat just a moment with you and let the Holy Spirit talk to us about loving ourselves. Now, let me make this statement up front. If we are loving ourselves with God's love, there will be no selfishness, no arrogance. None of that will be exhibited. Because God's love is always pointing us to someone else. But if you don't see yourself as being loved and are able to see yourself as valuable, then you're going to block the flow of that love through you. Galatians 2:20. Let me just read it to you. And this is why I can have God's love in me, for me, and can see myself in a loving manner. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live by the in the flesh, by faith, so I live in this flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God, who did what? Who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So if he loves me, why should I not also have a respect and honor for the love he's placed in me? Now, again, we're going to be building on this in order to be able to love others. I like how I saw this written recently, and I copied it over for use today because I knew this was coming, from the Distilled Bible. And the first part of this says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Let me read that again. I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. So allow me to substitute love. So I'm now enjoying this second existence, which is simply love using my body. You've got to see yourself with love to be able to love somebody else. You've got to see yourself full of God's love, which is seeing yourself loved and loving what you see. Not because of who you are, but because who's dwelling in there with you. Acts 17:28 says, in him I live and I move and I have my being. Listen to the passion for that verse. It is through him that we live and function and have our identity. You've got to see yourself as worthy of being loved. In other words, you've got to love yourself in that manner. But it's not a selfishness. It's just a being positioned to let God's love flow through you. I love myself because of how the Father sees me. And he sees me and he loves me, and I ought to love myself because I'm in Jesus and he's in me. That's a revelation. It's about honoring the love that he's placed in us. Now, let's just go from talking about the love flowing to me and the love and me loving myself, again, not selfishly, but because of who lives in me. And let's go back to Mark 12:31 and read it again. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love people, those who are around you, as yourself. Now, I'm loving myself because of how God sees me. How can I look at others with the condition I see in some of them and love them with that love? Well, let's go to the Word and see what the Word tells us about this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. And beloved, this is, I believe, the key for us. And it takes faith, remember. We have to believe before we know the love. We're going to have to do the same thing in this manner as we look at people, all people, born again, not born again, who are around us. From the New King James, it reads, therefore, from now on, and I'm going to make this personal, I regard no one according to the flesh. So we're regarding nobody according to how things look in this carnal realm. And so then how are we regarding him? Well, he says, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. How do we know him now? According to the Spirit. So if we're not regarding anyone according to the flesh, how are we regarding them? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Listen to the passion. So then, from now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see him with limited human insight. How do we see them? As the possibility of what they can be when they come to know the love of God and the love of God that dwells in them. And might I just make this statement? I'm more convinced of this every day. How I love God is shown, or it's a direct reflection of how I'm loving others. And there are some times when that sobers me up, when I'm looking at someone and something's going on and I don't have love rising up in my heart like I ought to. But how I love others is an indication of really my love for God. And it's not just people who are just always doing right. Look at Matthew 5. And in the 5th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 5:43, Jesus talking, and he says, "You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor." Exactly what we're talking about. "But hate your enemy. But now I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And might I say, that includes not just foreign enemies, that includes people in, who we think are trying to do us wrong, who are taking our nation in the wrong direction. This says we're to love them and to do what? Pray for them. "In order that we may be sons of our fathers." Now, does that mean something different to you? Because you've been born again of what? Of His nature, of the nature of love. "So that we may be sons of our Father who's in heaven while we are on this earth. So we may exhibit His nature while we're here on this earth. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rains to both the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward has this? Do not even the tax gatherers or those who don't know the Lord do the same? And yet you greet your brothers only. Do you greet them more than others? Don't the Gentiles, the non-Christians, non-Jews do the same?" Is what he's saying. "Therefore you ought to be perfect," or how about we say complete in love, "just as the Heavenly Father is complete in His love." Wow. So we see we're instructed to take that love and to let it manifest through us to others. So now let's go on. We've seen clearly that we're going to love the world, and we're going to see more of that and ways we're to do that, traits that are exhibited in the coming sessions. But I want us to go to where Jesus, I believe, is instructing us about a covenant love with our brothers, with those who He's covenanted with, with those who, when we are born again and they are born again, we are also in that same covenant. So go with me to John 13, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, who is Jesus talking to here? His disciples. He's not talking to unsaved. He says to them, "A new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another." Now, do you see that he's talking to his disciples about loving each other? Not arguing about who's the greatest, but about loving each other with that same love that he's loved them with. He's challenging them to take it up to a new plane. And look at the result of doing this. "By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, I have shared this before, and what I said is, I think, true, but I want to say it differently today. When we love each other, and that love is seen so prominently, this almost hints that it's greater than a greater drawing card or a louder dinner bell than miracles and signs and wonders. And I think there is no question that just seeing pure love manifested from me to you and as one body will want to make people come to that body. But do you also see this revelation? When we love each other in the church, all things will be possible, because that love is going to be energizing our faith, and those signs and wonders are going to be happening in our midst, just like there to happen when we go to the world. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, when we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, and some of you are sitting there saying, how can I do that? Some church people I know are the meanest people in the world. This says we're to love them with the same love that Jesus has. Now, I believe as we do this, we're going to be able to carry that same love out to those beyond the walls of the church, to those unsaved. But right now, it's still a work in progress with me to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, even though I think some of them may not treat me like I should. Love them. That's where I am really focusing a lot of attention now. Because I believe that the testimony of the church, it's time for it to rise up. And I believe this is one of the ways it's going to happen as we become unified, loving one another on that higher plane. Now, this is the only verse I'm going to use in this section, but I want to read it to you from three different translations. And I've given these to you in your notes. The J.B. Phillips translation. Now I'm going to give you a new command. So he's telling his disciples, here comes something different. Now he's already talked to them about loving the brethren. I mean, loving everyone. But he's saying, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. And then J.B. Phillips says, you must love one another. This is how all men will know that you're my disciples, because you have such love, such a different love, that love from a covenant relationship. And remember those, some of the words, go back and that's in your notes also, and see the things that covenant love says. You're showing mercy, you're showing grace in that love, even when you don't feel like doing it sometimes. The Woost translation, a commandment, a new one, I am giving to you. Now, do you remember that early on we talked about that we ought to be walking habitually in love, that lifestyle? Listen to what this says. A new commandment, a new one I'm giving you, that you should be constantly loving one another with a divine and self-sacrificial love. Sounds like what we read before, doesn't it? With God's love, self-sacrificial, giving of ourselves to them as Jesus gave of himself, our time. I'm not talking about wasting time who are just people who are draining. I'm talking about sowing good seed into people, into good ground. So it says, you should be constantly loving one another, or having a lifestyle of loving one another with a divine and self-sacrificial love, even as I have loved you. You will be loving one another, also be loving one another. In all this, all shall know that you are my disciples. The Passion Translation simply says, demonstrate the same love I have to you by loving one another. Saints, that's what we have. We can do it. It's given to us today to set the church apart. Oh, that we would become unified, not just in, I won't say even say unified in Him, because we take that for granted sometimes. Unified in love in Him, because that's how He is. We all want to, and the world wants to be a part of a group where they're loved, where they're respected, where they can grow, and where they can be cared for. That's who we are in the church today. Now, let me close this with just making a statement here. It is not just through faith that I reap health, wealth, and peace. It is in and by love working in me and through me. Love, a walk of love, impacts every area of my life. Every area of my life. Now, we've set the table today to begin to move next week after our review of walking in love toward one another. And so we're going to see is how love gives, how love honors, how love respects, how love sows. And we're going to just look at examples that Jesus talks about and the apostles talk about so that we too can begin to be sowers of this love. And with that, I believe, is going to come power that makes possible on an increased plane than what we've ever experienced today. I trust this has ministered to you. This is a time for us to draw close to the Lord, to respond to that invitation we talked about last week. So let me encourage you to listen to this again and let these words build you up so that His love becomes constantly a lifestyle of flowing to you and through you as we get ready to talk about loving others. We love you. We thank you again for spending time with us, and we look forward to finishing this study here in the next couple of weeks with you. Have a great week.